It's Thursday night, just like it is every week, and
just like it is every night.
That's true. We're coming at you not from Fuzzle Faggot Ridge or from the asymmetric home office in Mesa, Arizona, but from the Big Easy. And no, I'm not talking about Hot Stuff's mom.
She's not that big.
That's true. She is that easy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You keep setting them up, and I keep hitting them out of the park. Or you keep pitching them, and I keep hitting them. Wait, are you the pitcher?
No.
And I'm the...
No.
I can never remember. Anyway, sitting here in the lovely and inexpensive Hotel Richelieu in the French Quarter.
They have a giant portrait of Richelieu in the lobby.
I don't know who Richelieu is.
See, I was trying to remember today. I feel like he was like the viceroy of France. I'm making words up, maybe. And when there was a young noble, he was actually in charge of the country for a while without actually being nobility. I think maybe one of the Louis was really young or something like that, or he was an advisor to one of the young Louis. Anyway, I vaguely remember that. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah. Well, I know nothing about history at all, so I would be completely wrong. So you're one step ahead of me there. Yeah. So we're on this road trip. My lovely wife and my East Coast wife, Hasa. we took off on Sunday and went down to see my loving mother, and then we decided to spend Cinco de Mayo in New Mexico.
I would say we spent it there.
Oh, we sure did. We spent several hours of Cinco de Mayo driving across New Mexico, and then several more hours driving across the fucking barren wasteland that is Texas. We got to Austin, Texas, where we met a guildmate of ours from, or an erstwhile guildmate of ours from World of Warcraft, who we had never met in real life. And you know, we've had really bad experiences meeting people in real life after only meeting them on the internet. That's really not the kind of thing we like to make a practice of at all. But
in this case,
it turned out okay. So I was making a joke.
I see. You were saying, you were being ironic.
I was.
Saying
I was.
Something other than you actually meant.
Saying something other than what I actually meant, yeah.
Right.
Other than what was expected, you know. So yeah, so we hung out with our guildy Shadrach, or Meshach, or Abednego, because he does have those all. So, but funny thing happened to us on the way across Texas. Well, it was kind of funny. My wife sure thought it was funny. We'd been swapping off driving, and it was Hot Stuff's first go behind the wheel, and about 5 minutes after we left the truck stop where we switched drivers, we get the cherries in the window as Hot Stuff gets pulled over. I had cleaned out the car right before we left, everything out of the car, including the proof of insurance and the car registration. So
also the seats, which was really annoying.
Yeah, no, I know. It kind of sucks just sitting on bare metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost a Flintstones car. Yeah, so a little bit of a hassle with the ticket, right, because we don't have proof of insurance or registration. So I'm in the back seat, and the guy comes up, and he's like, if this is your vehicle, I need your
driver's license
also. And I'm like, okay, well, also this vehicle is registered in a company name, so if you pull the registration, it's going to say Asymmetric. Here's a credit card with my name and Asymmetric on it, just in case you need to, you know that. So then he comes back, and I'm thinking that he's coming back to hand me my license and tell me that everything is okay, but he knocks on the window, which I rolled down, and he says, "Mr. Johnson, have you ever been arrested?" I'm like, "No, not that I'm aware of." "Have you ever been to Illinois, Mr. Johnson?" "Yeah, I grew up in Illinois." "Well, according to our computer, you were arrested twice, once on a marijuana offense and once for drinking as a minor." Like, really? When did this happen? And he said, "The report is from 2006. I'm like, "Well, okay, a couple things.
Let's do some math.
First of all, I've never been arrested. And it doesn't mean charged with a crime, Mr. Johnson. It just means arrested." Like, okay. "I've never had anything happen to me that was described as arresting me. I've never gotten in trouble for smoking marijuana, and I never got in any trouble. I had, at one point in Illinois, gotten in trouble for what? Being with someone who got in trouble for underage drinking." But I did not actually get arrested. I did not get a ticket. I did not get anything. They just let me go. And I explained that.
Did they take your information?
They did.
And you gave it to them. You gave them real information.
Yes, I did. I gave them my driver's license. I actually drew a breathalyzer as an ID. But no. So
I would say I did not have an ID, and I would not give them my real information.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's just the way I am.
You're sleazy. You're sneaky.
If I haven't done anything wrong, I don't want.
I was drinking. You know, I mean,
you were drinking underage.
Yeah. But anyway, wasn't a big deal. Jamin,
disco
banjo. No, I told the cop. My wife was just laughing time, because the thing is, I have sure as shit never been arrested for marijuana, so I knew that there was something wrong. I knew that it wasn't me, but he just kept insisting, nope, I'm sorry, man, the computer says that you know. So I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know what, maybe my phone says you raped my mom. Am I allowed to be mad at you for that? Like... So
you didn't actually say that, did
no,
you?
I didn't. I didn't.
I was not in the car.
You were just out bullshitting with the other cop.
A second cop had pulled up behind, and he'd asked me to step out of the car, which is, you know, never is a good sign. I thought I was going to be like frisked or something. But
anyway, so he yells at me about that for a little while. I'm like, first of all, how could I have gotten arrested for drinking underage when I was 30 years old, which I was in 2006, and you're holding my goddamn driver's license? So, you know. He's like, I didn't say that it happened in 2006. I said that the report is from 2006, and I don't know what the fuck that means. He's like, do you have anything? Do you have any contraband in the car? Do you have anything illegal in the car? Any drugs? Any weapons? I'm like, no. He's like, you're sure you don't have anything in the car? And I asked my wife. I'm like, wife, do we have anything in the car? And she said, no. Not that I wanted to tell the cop this, but I was thinking, oh man, we didn't bring any weed, did we? Because I know we had discussed it, but then I think maybe I thought, no, it would be dangerous to take illegal drugs.
It's costing.
Not for me. It's for my wife. She's black. She's into drugs. You know, it's just something that we have to deal with in our life. You know, it's like a disease. You know, I don't want people to get the wrong impression. But so I'm like, okay. I was pretty sure there wasn't anything in the car. He's like, we have a canine unit in the car, and we're going to run the canine around your car, and if he alerts us to anything, there's going to be some trouble. I'm like...
Well, he said something which was interesting. It's like, if you have something even small...
Yeah, he said, maybe you got something little that we can just throw off to the side of the road before this escalates, and that just seems like a fucking trap.
Because even if it isn't... drugs to get you for littering? I mean, like, what is that all about?
I don't know. Littering and. Yeah, so I don't know what that was all about.
That's interesting.
Anyway, so we went back to get the, but he went back to get the car and what, or to get the dog, and what he got instead was his comeuppance, as he talked to his partner, who, yep, turns out had put the wrong goddamn name in the computer. And I'm like, I'm sorry that I'm not more surprised that that's how this turned out, officer, but I told you that I had been arrested.
What was his attitude like when he came back?
He was apologetic. And
He was
jovial, you know? I mean, I was still kind of irritated.
It was just surprising to me because, you know, the long part of my story was that I ended up getting a warning as opposed to a ticket, which I was very surprised about.
Yeah. And I wonder if
he had definitely pegged me over the speed limit.
Do you think that he elected to give you a warning after the case of... So it was before
that. He had told me he was going to give me a warning before he ever went to talk to you.
I see. Well,
so that was interesting.
It would have been pretty shitty had you actually gotten a ticket after all of that, because that was...
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's doing his job or whatever. It's a little frustrating that a prior conviction is probable cause to search.
A prior arrest seems to be... That's what I don't understand, is the fact that people get arrested all the time and are cleared of any charges, or charges are never even fully finally pressed. But if just the mere fact of being arrested for something, like being nearby when something bad happens, is enough for a future, you know, probable cause for searching or whatever, that seems really...
Yeah. It seems like you could do nothing and still just sort of have your rights stripped of you.
Yeah.
In a pretty fundamental way.
Because the government could just someday arrest everybody, and everybody now has a previous arrest, and now they can do whatever the hell they want.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, that was our exciting adventure in Texas. And then we dicked around in Austin for a while and drove to lovely, flea-bitten, foul-smelling Lafayette, Louisiana. And
la la.
Yeah. Took a little break before coming to New Orleans, which I'm enjoying myself. Here
the French Quarter is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
It's got all kinds of interesting things going on.
They have a rule in the French Quarter, at least in everything but one block of the French Quarter, that you are not allowed to have any businesses that are chains.
National chains.
Okay.
Because they seem to have like some local chains.
But that's
like four Hustler clubs.
Hustler started here though.
But, I know it's a local chain. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I think we might try and talk Hot Stuff into heading out to the barely legal strip club after the show tonight. Even though he's going to protest because he only likes dudes. That's just how it is. Sorry to out you like this on national radio, Hot Stuff.
I was just to reinforce my gayness. I was gonna say that you forgot to mention that we went to the Whole Foods headquarters.
Oh yeah,
which
is
kind of awesome.
We did go to the original Whole Foods,
the first and most whole of the foods.
I ate some Indian food from the little hot food buffet there. We found a Scully's Records and store called New Orleans Hot Stuff.
And then
pictures of both of them.
There was a third one.
Sneaky Pete's.
Sneaky Pete's bar.
I feel like there are dozens and dozens of Sneaky Pete's bars in the country, though. It's a fairly common thing.
Did you think of any of those when you came up with the moniker?
No, it was named after a dildo that I had seen advertised in a pornographic magazine. It was a dildo for her. It was designed to be easily concealable in your purse. What it said.
I see. Yeah. Your man purse.
Right. my messenger bag. I'm enjoying a delicious mint julep here in the Big Easy.
I've had two of those today.
It's very humid and the food is very good. And
it was interesting. We went to Coop's Place, which is a restaurant that we had been told was one of the best in the city, and Jake's wife and I went out for lunch while he did some work, because I don't actually ever do any work. And we had just an incredible meal, and we brought back some leftovers for Jake. And then we went there again for dinner, just a mere 2 hours ago, and the food was kind of mediocre. Which, it must be sort of an interesting phenomenon to me, the notion that you can have a meal, two meals, in the same restaurant in one day and have completely different experiences. So it makes me want to, every restaurant that I've been told is good and then had a bad experience, give a second chance to, just because it's possible that ordered the wrong thing or went at the wrong time or something.
Yeah, I don't know, though. You know, I guess there's probably been a time when I've gone to, say, Oregano's, mm-hmm. which is a favorite restaurant of mine in Phoenix, and had something that if it had been that the first time I ever went there, that I probably wouldn't have gone back.
It made me frustrated because I tried the one thing on the menu that I hadn't really had any experience with, and it was okay, but it wasn't great. And I was like, if I had ordered what I knew was really good, would I have had a better experience? And I had
or would it have just sucked? I mean,
that's true. I mean, I guess it's that dilemma where because you've had so many good things from a place, you're hoping that everything will be good, and the other sort of the flip side of that is you go someplace, you find something you really like. It's very tempting to just always get that thing, there's a bunch of places where I get the same thing over and over again. Yeah. In fact, Oregano's is one of those places.
Indeed. I've eaten there probably 50 times, and I've gotten the same thing probably 45 of those times, just because it's good stuff. So we were thinking about doing an announcement on the show.
Oh yeah.
Tonight we were thinking about telling some secrets. Scully had apparently drunkenly said on Monday's show that clans were getting some love.
Oh, really?
And Scully also, we should stop letting him do shows by himself because he's all OMG spoilzores. But somebody asked him for a single word.
Okay.
In relation to the big new content dump, and he said burn barrel.
Right.
So then everybody was like, oh man, it's Hobopolis. A lot of people said that. And then a lot of people said, no, it's not. And then a lot
it
of people
It can't possibly
said,
be.
Yes, it is. Oh, I've been following the threads about the recent speedruns. Yeah, those have been exciting. Speaking of stuff going on in the forums and frustrating everybody with
delay
deferral of
useful information. I was curious. I haven't had a chance to read up recently. Was there anything consistent about them in terms of like a holiday or something? Something that allowed this to be a particular speedrun, or was it just the fact that there was a contest incited people to be really sort of serious about an attempt or something?
The we were tossing around. Huh. This stuff does not taste as good when it's starting to get warm.
Oh.
That's weird.
There's a local IPA.
Abita Brewery's Giacomo IPA. And every time I hear every time I see it, Giacomo, I just think I get that Ico Ico song stuck in my head. Who is that? Maybe Grateful Dead covered it.
I don't know
who did it originally. My grandpa and your grandpa were...
Was it grandpa?
Grandma? Grandpa. I don't know. Sitting by a fight, yeah. I don't know if that was a Grateful Dead song or not. Anyway, there's a line in that sounds like Giacomo. I don't know if it's Giacomo or not.
I've actually never looked up the lyrics to that song, and now I'm curious.
Yeah. I think it's just a lot of islandy sounding words that don't mean anything. But
that could mean something in some other language.
It could mean something in some islandy language. Anyway, yeah, I was excited to see people excited about speedruns. Huh. It was weird. There seemed to be... All right, so there's been this sentiment on the forums since NS13 that...
Aaron Carter.
Okay.
Apparently.
Well, no wonder. I didn't know.
But it's Cindy Lauper has done it, and Zevon Warren has done it.
Warren Zevon?
Maybe. Maybe that is a reversal on the Google search page.
Is it Lauper Cindy?
No, it wasn't. That's why I said it that direction.
It would be really weird if there was also a musician named Zevon Warren. I mean, it would not be, you know, completely inconceivable, yeah. I guess. But yeah. So yeah, the threads about the speedrun. There's been this sentiment among the whiners on the forums, and I say that as affectionately as I can, that somehow speedplay just isn't fun
because it's so much work.
But no. What I'm saying is the runs that people did this week were sort of described in the forums as not being bad, but just being hard.
Huh.
Which I don't know what that means. I don't know if they were fun, but
hard,
also hard.
Challenging and fun, or challenging and just a pain in the ass.
I don't know. They're playing an absurd number of turns in a day because let me look at the leaderboards and see what's on there. I was just looking at the leaderboards today as I was adding some new leaderboards for some new stuff. A whole new section of the leaderboards, in fact. And I say that, I actually added those like a couple weeks
ago. Oh, wow, there's a link to them on
Dev. Yeah. And that one leaderboard is live and filled with completely useless testing data. Let's see. What are we at for fastest normal no-path ascensions? We've got... 715, 720, 756. That's interesting. Two-day runs in the 700s of turns, and then followed by a lot of 3-day runs in the 600s, which is weird.
Well, you have to spend more turns
to make more turns.
To make more turns, exactly. 715, 2 days. That's interesting.
Yeah. So. That is, I can see why that's a lot of work, because it's, you know, more than 350 turns in a day, which is going to be a lot of work. I don't know if it's because there is a lot of shit that you have to do on every turn, because fights take longer, at the edges because of...
They're all disco bandits.
They're all disco bandits?
All the 2-day runs.
Yeah. Well.
They really are the strongest class for ascending, I think.
But yeah. I mean, the fact that they
suck so much for the new content. It's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, they really actually do.
Not as bad as Accordion Thieves, but...
Yeah, but Moxie classes really get the shaft in the new stuff.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. They're difficult to design gear rewards for, interestingly. And they're also... Their fighting strategies are limited in ways that other classes are not. But, you know, they never get hit. So, their strategy is, their playstyle that we're encouraging for Moxie classes is to just have fights that end due to the round limit.
Yeah. So they never actually get any stats and just spend all their turns.
You know, I feel like one factor in the Disco Envy thing is the substats from the dance combos.
Yeah.
Right? Because and when we did that, people were worried. I mean, that was like over a year ago. Dev was like, yeah, when people discover this, they're probably going to be pissed off.
Did we not do any plus substats for any of the spell combos?
I don't know.
I don't remember. That was such a long time ago.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'd say, we could just tack it on to some sorcerer effect.
Right.
But then sorcerers already get so much love, you know.
Yeah.
Do any of the Postamancer summons give stats? I think they do, don't they?
I think that was the plan. I don't know if we
the Wisp. The Wisp gives stats.
Okay.
And it goes away if you get hit.
Right. It's the fragile. It's the fragile one.
Yeah, it's the here in Fragile Rock. Unless the Wisp doesn't give stats. Maybe the Wisp.
I think it does.
Yeah. You think I'm right?
Yeah. Because we knew it could potentially be overpowered, so we gave it a major drawback.
Right. major drawback and
Lieutenant
Captain Compromise.
Fucking the balls.
Fuck you in the balls.
I don't know.
You're just making stuff up, aren't you?
Yeah.
You don't actually speak English, right? You just put random words together.
It's so hard trying to convince you all that I know what the hell's going on.
Anyway, I've been watching these. It has led us to wonder if we could not make the speed game more appealing to people by formalizing the notion of a
session contest.
Yeah,
I don't know, because the problem I see with that is, you know, if you get a really good run, effectively unassailable, let's say, you're sitting on the top of the leaderboards for 60 days.
Well, the thing is, I think that your objection comes from not thinking of it the way that I was actually thinking of it.
Right.
Right, so what I said was...
Would you... Okay, so you'd have a completely different set of information.
There wouldn't even really be leaderboards.
Right.
My idea was, okay, so let's say that for each class, we come up with an item. I don't know what it does, right? I don't know what kind of item this would be. I don't know if it would be something that would be useful in a speed run. Hmm. That seems like maybe a bad idea.
Because it would just encourage...
It would snowball.
Snowballing.
It would give people momentum.
In the parking lot.
Yeah.
37 times.
Yeah. So let's imagine that there are 6 items, one for each class, and... Although, this is not taking, like, paths into account,
right.
So we'd have to rethink this to some extent. But let's imagine that there were no paths. Let's imagine that there are only softcore and hardcore runs. We come up with 6 items, one for each class, and every week, every period from, like, Saturday to Saturday, the fastest run started... During that week, the fastest run completed during that week.
Completed probably makes more, it'd be more satisfying.
Yeah. So whoever has the fastest run completed during one Saturday to Saturday period gets this item. And maybe it's just a trophy. You
know? If it didn't have any consequence except for display purposes, or I mean,
it could have value in the end game. You know, it could have value in high level stuff.
Sure.
It could be something that you could use outside of Ronin or Hardcore to give you some meat every day, or to give you some, you know, consumables every day that you also could only use outside of Ronin or Hardcore, or whatever, you know. I mean, there are all kinds of things that we could just come up with an item that was cool, you know, equivalent to a piece of plexiglass, say,
mm-hmm.
in terms of its, you know, actual game mechanical utility,
but for high level content.
Yeah, but not equipable. We've been doing a lot of stuff that you can't equip until stat 200 lately. That's kind of the way of
being able to put in gear that's really powerful but not relevant or not broken in an Ascension context. Let me make sure that we're still broadcasting, actually. Yeah, this seems to be working. We're coming to you from my the same laptop that I usually broadcast from at the office, but connected to the internet via fucking
cellular magic voodoo.
Yeah. There's a voodoo cemetery ghost vampire. There's a sign that says Voodoo Cemetery Ghost Vampire. Yeah. I don't know what the sign is for.
Tours.
Is it?
A Voodoo Cemetery Ghost Vampire.
I see. The idea of vampire tours here is a little upsetting.
I believe this was the tour that we ran across where there was the explanation of what happens when a body decomposes and some sort of law about being unable to
disinter somebody
for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Because of some sort of gas buildup. I imagine your tomb would be especially bad because of your gas buildup.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do have to imagine that I will continue to fart for centuries after I'm dust. People won't even know. They'll just be like that. You know, the particles that made me up will be everywhere, right? You know, like Caesar's last breath or whatever. And people will be walking along, and every once in a while they'll just be like, "Dude, did you fart?" No, I think that was Zach.
They'll leave a place at the table for you.
They will. From there, they'll leave a place in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It would be the toilet. Yeah, so the toilet in this hotel room is one of those low flush toilets, and so far every deuce grunted out by anyone who has used this toilet has pretty comprehensively clogged it.
Huh.
I've had to do a little fireman brigade with the ice bucket
to get
the toilet to flush.
The toilet in my room
environment.
This hotel is very nice. I like it quite a bit.
I do.
But the toilet in my room, I don't think it's actually connected to the floor, because sitting down on it, it starts to wobble, and if you move at all, it shakes in a very disconcerting sort of way. So maybe they're good, except for their plumber is terrible.
That could be. You know, maybe they expect us to just shit on the street, because that's apparently what everyone else does.
New Orleans has just a terrible litany of smells. It is bizarre. We were informed by Armac that it's not so bad after you've been here for a while, because then you just start to smell like New Orleans and you don't even notice it.
Yeah.
And that was kind of terrifying to me, the idea that your clothes and your skin would just become so infused with this disgusting set of aromas that everyone and everything just kind of oozes. We saw some sort of window or vent that I don't exactly know what was going on, but it was as if some sort of motor oil sludge was sort of seeping out of it and had been doing so for years, and it was just, I must have been 20 feet in the air, and then just a streak of black sludge coming down the wall.
It was very nasty.
It was absolutely disgusting.
I wish you had taken a picture.
Yeah, I was driving, though, at the time.
Well, I wish that you were better at doing multitasking. I know that you don't really do multitasking. You know.
People do lunch, so
yeah.
I suppose it's possible.
People, I feel like mom. Basically everyone does your mom.
We've popped like 5 times up the stack and haven't gone back down at all.
Oh yeah.
Well, what were we talking about?
I mean,
items for speed runs.
Popped 5 boners after flipping around and wailing on a guitar.
But 5 guitars.
You don't see me complaining about that.
Formalizing the speed.
Yeah, how did that get to where we are now?
Oh, I was just trying to. Do we want? Is that one? Do we think we're done with that?
No, but I'm saying, how did we get from that? Let's trace the train of thought back.
See,
okay. I thought it was fun. I like doing that.
Okay.
So we were talking about New Orleans.
Originally, are we going to go forward or are we going to go backwards?
We're going to go backwards. So how did we get from the Ascension contests to back to talking about it?
Well, because we were talking about the forums, and you were following. That was pretty non sequitur, because we were just talking. You're like, I've been following the speed.
Oh, well, sure. Because I was talking about the Hobopolis speculation.
Oh, right.
In the forums. That got me to the speed stuff. That got us to the formalizing the contests.
Yes.
As talking about, you know, items that you could use high-level gear.
Yeah.
I don't understand how we got from... You know, I know that there is a record of this, and that it shouldn't drive me crazy, right, not understanding where that train of thought went, because I can just go back and listen to it later if right. I really want to.
This is 120 minutes of us dissecting the first 10 minutes of the radio show.
Yeah. We're actually more like 35 minutes in.
Oh, wow.
Weird. I know.
Have you seen Snake Eyes, I think is the name of the film, where... It's basically an incredibly long 10-15 minute tracking shot where it's a single take.
Right, the bullshit that happens at the casino.
It's at a fight.
Oh, right. I thought it was at a casino. Fight.
It might be at a casino.
The hotel casino where they were having a boxing match.
Yeah. And then the whole rest of the movie is effectively dissecting that one take, that one shot. Interesting idea. Terrible movie. Yeah. That one shot was pretty cool, though, I gotta say. Kind of interesting. If you don't know what's going on, if you don't realize that it's a single tracking shot, then you might not be as impressed by sort of the thing. I think I've talked about this. My favorite shot in all of
the Fight Club thing where the camera goes through the tea kettle handle?
No. That's kind of lame. It's just CGI, whatever. But the shot in Contact when it's like a young Jodie Foster, but it's not, it's Gina Malone. And her like her dad has just collapsed on the floor, and she's running up the stairs. The camera is handheld and tracking in front of her as she runs up the stairs. It rounds the corner with her, right? So it is moving. There's clearly somebody in front of her as she's running. It's in slow motion as she's running to the bathroom to get his pills, and then as she reaches for the pills, like towards the camera, you realize that the shot the whole time has been in a mirror, and she reaches in, and the shot pans away, and you're looking at the medicine cabinet. So the conceit of the shot is somehow that you've been looking at this medicine cabinet in which the mirror, in which she's been turning towards the mirror, and it's just been zooming out that way, but it tracked her coming around the corner, which is impossible. It's just an impossible shot. And it's clearly just sort of a digital stitching of two different shots,
right.
But it's completely seamless. You don't notice it, and someone who's just watching the movie might not even notice that.
Yeah, I don't think that I had ever noticed that there was anything going on.
Chilling to me. I was just I stood up in my chair when I saw it. I was like, that is incredible. That kind of thing just blows my mind in cinema. I don't know why. There's a scene in what's it called?
You just used the word cinema. Sad irony.
Yeah. I think it came from beneath or it what lives beneath or there's
what lies
what lies beneath. That it's like sort of like scary horror movie. I think it was Harrison Ford even maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah.
There's a scene where a camera tracks someone as they hit the ground, and it passes through the floor, and then it looks up at them on a glass floor seamlessly, which is another sort of a computer miniature shot. But I like that. I like clever uses of CGI where they're not trying to do anything spectacular, but they do impossible shots. You know, like going through the window thing has become pretty standard. Weird. You know, you can't really go through a window. They used to do it by having window frames where there was no actual glass and they'd pull the wall apart once the camera couldn't see anything or whatever, but now they just put a digital
fix it in post.
Yeah, they fix it in post, exactly. I never actually see all the posts that they're talking about.
Yeah, me neither. I think that Cliff Clavin works for the service that deals with that.
He's never at work.
That's true.
That explains why the mail is so terrible in Boston. They're all just drinking all the time.
That's what I would do if I was a mailman. And that's what I do now.
Maybe you are a mailman.
Maybe I am. Wow. That, no wonder I've had this gnawing feeling like I was supposed to be doing some shit that just wasn't getting done. Ever since high school, ever since grade school, I've had this feeling like there was something going on that I was supposed to be taking care of that I'm just not taking care of.
Constantly?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
It manifests itself when I think about paying taxes now. Yeah, it's really weird.
I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
I had a dream last night. I had a series of weird dreams that I blame on the weird sort of voodoo ghost vampires. And in this dream, I was in like some sort of weird high school, college, educational setting, and I
high
could,
school, college, educational.
Well, because I was it was like I would say like a residential high school or something, because it was high school style classes, but I was living there, so it was like a college dorm room, but high school. Anyway, I was supposed to take this test, but I couldn't study for the test because someone had moved all of my furniture out of my room and I think had moved it to North Carolina. I don't know. Anyway, nothing like my filing cabinets and all my books and papers and stuff like that just gone from my room, and I was like, what the hell? Couldn't study for the test, so I had to postpone it until I could get to my stuff.
You had to postpone the test?
Yeah. So I was in the classroom, and then and he was like, here's your test. And I was like, oh, all my stuff got taken by professional movers to North Carolina, which made sense at the time. It was just very frustrating.
I had a lot of dreams about being back in high school. Like, in the dream, it's always like, oh, yeah, it turns out I hadn't actually graduated from high school, so my college degree was void until I finished high school. Right, and it was
that
like,
the plot of a movie?
Billy Madison.
No, I was thinking of one.
He had to go back to. He had to start from kindergarten. And
right. That was kind of weird because he was doing the accelerated thing.
Yeah.
2 weeks every grade or 1 week every grade,
something.
Yeah, that was weird.
But yeah, no, it's always like I don't know. It's always like in the dream. It's always like the end of the semester, and I'm like, oh right, you know, I've been supposed to be going to these classes, but I haven't been. Like, which is really what college was like for me, because there was frequently it would be getting close to the end of the semester, and I'm like, huh, I have not been to this class in 6 weeks. Wow. I wonder what's going on in this class. And then I'd be like embarrassed to show my face. First time when I went to ASU, I actually went to class and graduated and didn't really fuck anything up that bad.
I have those dreams a lot though, where I feel like I've seen the term, and then I realize that I never dropped a class that I haven't been attending,
yeah,
and that I just don't know anything about in the finals tomorrow or whatever.
I did once start taking a class at the community college.
You should have started.
No, I just forgot. I remember starting the class. I remember doing the first like maybe 4 or 5 weeks of assignments, but I think I just forgot that I was in the class.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just like didn't go.
I didn't drop it. I didn't decide to stop taking it, but
maybe
I'll be damned if I can
the
remember the last
still
three quarters
waiting
of this
in that room to like give you your final.
It could be.
Like,
it could be.
Mr.
I don't know.
Johnson, you are late.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess that would have been like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I should check my transcript and see what happened. Maybe I just have an F on the transcript. I mean,
does it matter? Does it like?
No, I don't think it matters. But it's fucked up that I'd be like, and you know, maybe I found out about it. Maybe I finally did remember it because I saw the F on my transcript. That actually sounds familiar now that I say that out loud. I'm like, oh yeah, I totally took that class like 3 or 4 years ago, and then yeah, wonder how that worked out.
That's interesting.
It was a visual basic programming class. And later on, I got a job as a visual basic programmer. So lack of that class didn't hurt me. I remember learning how to do drag and drop stuff in Visual Basic, and then using
drag
that
and drop.
To yeah, drag and
that
drop.
Sounds like a cool game actually.
It's actually a sushi roll. It's
I was thinking like a Bomberman, sure, but Dungeon Crawl.
The people who made Gamma Brothers released a new game yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's, I don't know. You know, I say it's good. My initial impression, it's good, but not as good as Gamma Brothers. But I'm not ever going to play Gamma Brothers again. You can kind of play it once, and that's the idea of starting. The idea of starting over from the beginning is a little. You know, I would play Gamma Brothers if it was structured like KOL, where you know you could go and replay old levels and farm coins, and you know, like
yeah,
I would do that. I would really like for a lot of games to be like that. You know, like. Fucking Bookworm
like
Adventure.
Castlevania. Metroid.
Yeah.
Those kinds of games.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, the fact that playing does not simply advance the plot, but further widens the possibility space of play. Right? Like, so, yeah. And anyway, it seems like it's a little more like that. You can replay old levels and stuff. It's like, there's like dinosaur running from this pyroclasmic wall of death and extinction, which is basically just the timer. But the timer is simply, you know, if you go too slow, the everything turns black, and then you start seeing this just wall of smoke and flame and death on the left side of the screen, and you can actually get away from it. And so, I don't know. You find eggs
like dinosaur eggs that you're trying to preserve.
Earn more DNA to upgrade your dinosaur to move faster and jump higher and accelerate more.
Okay.
Anyway.
Do you think we're doing a good job of building suspense?
I don't know. We were trying to get back down the stack. How did we get there? That was a complete non sequitur. Me talking about that game was a complete non sequitur.
I don't know. I don't know that they're complete, because if something made you think of it,
sure.
Just perhaps non sequitur from the point of view of the thousands of radio listeners that are, like, scratching their heads at the moment.
Don't remind me that fucking thousands of people listen to this
one. Oh, you love it. Yeah. You don't actually love it.
This mint julep is continuing to be very satisfying. With the mint, Hot Stuff went to get me a drink. This was awesome. He's like a manservant. I was getting ready for the
Man Friday.
Getting ready for the show, and I was like, man, I wish I had another drink, because I'm gonna be really sad if I just had one beer for dinner and then I go 3 hours without drinking. I'm gonna get all headachy and tired. And he was just like, I'll go get you a mint julep. And he just like bolted down the street. But he wasn't sure if I would want a mint julep or a beer, so he got me both.
And he is drinking both.
Such a swell guy. I am drinking both. So I'm going to be a number of sheets to the wind by the end of this program. Although we're at sea level, so...
Yeah. I had a not-so-pleasant experience drinking in Austin.
Yeah, that was fucked up. We were in Austin. I had four beers, which is just a normal
over
Tuesday.
2 hours.
Yeah. Over 2 hours. Four beers, which is just a normal night for me. Hot Stuff had five beers, which is more than usual for him, but not
out of the
not completely inconceivable. I was just drunker than I have been in months and months, and Hot Stuff was throwing up all night.
Yeah.
Like five beers.
So we're not sure if we had some sort of bad beer or if there was some sort of altitude issue.
It's pretty high elevation, which will do it. I mean, I've had that happen to me when I would go to Prescott after a long time. I would go and drink, you know, I'd have two or three pints of beer and be like, wow, I am really drunk. But that was rough. But yeah, New Orleans. What did I drink last night? I imagine I probably had like 8 or 9 beers over the course of.
Austin, Texas is only 501 feet.
Really?
I don't know.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
We drank different kinds of beer. We had two bottles each of Sierra Nevada, we drank that all the time. We frequently have that over the course of a single radio show, and it is not noticeable at all. The stack is just getting more and more complicated.
Yeah, it is. So now we're looping back.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
But at least that time I started thinking about, or I started talking about alcohol, because I looked down at the desk here and here's some alcohol.
Right. According to this particular webpage, which is nothing in particular, like I don't know how true it is, but it seems like it's 500 feet.
Huh.
Which is weird, because we'd been at 4,500 feet just an hour or two before that.
Yeah.
Okay, the other thing that we didn't have was any food for like 12 hours beforehand.
But I had a plate of sliders.
Oh, I didn't have food for
No, I mean, it makes more sense for you, yeah.
But still, very odd. Maybe they have extra alcohol in the beer in Texas. Everything is bigger in Texas.
Right, including the molecules of ethanol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I had a friend that insisted that the bottled beer in Las Vegas had less alcohol in it than the same bottled beer somewhere else. And insisted that I could not possibly know that it didn't, because it doesn't. He was talking about particular beers that did not have the alcohol content labeled on them.
But even then, it's odd to me that there would be a brewery or multiple breweries that would be willing to produce two different alcohol content beers under the same label and ship them to different places just so that they could have less alcohol content. Is the conceit that they give you watered down drinks in Vegas specifically to keep
to keep you in the casino longer? If
they give you an open beer, you have no idea whether they've added taken beer and added water though. So that's a possibility.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you get it from a bar, I mean, they definitely make the mixed drinks kind of weak, but it's weird. I wonder if anybody's sent in any questions.
I mean, there are definitely questions from this... Well, I guess it was not cleared.
Gleeb says, this is Precious Roy, and Jick is more non-sequitur than I am. Vidalia says, you might want to read Little Brother by Cory Doctorow before you drive through Texas again. Utin the Open Hermit says, are you ever going to get to questions? And then the Brown Table says, are you guys taking messages tonight? Dev Joe says, you forgot your pine fresh air freshener. Vidalia says, it would be cool if you took photos of all the references that are reminiscent of KOL on your trip and put it up after you get back. We were thinking about blogging.
You were thinking about Twittering.
I wasn't you really thinking about
jerk face.
Yes, okay.
Pooping now.
Dr. Van Venmo just says, the primary reason that disco bandits are the best speed ascension class is that due to pickpocketing and disco concentration, they just get more item drops than anybody else. This gives them the edge over accordion thieves who have the edge over other classes, since the ballroom is by far better than the power leveling zones for mist and muscle classes. Then says Dr. Van Van Mojo is my name, and this is what I'm about to say. Formalized ascension contest would be a great vector for putting in the stainless steel shirt and plexiglass poncho.
I mean, there could be different colored shirts and ponchos or something. I guess by that point, you've kind of, if you're gonna be winning those contests, you're gonna
probably have torso awareness.
Torso awareness.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless you think that it's a detriment, because sometimes you get a shirt adventure at the cost of something.
I think that we have eliminated all the cases.
I think we have.
That's, God damn it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Donnie Darko, we have no idea.
Yeah, I know. Fuck. I blame Drew Barrymore for our success.
Me too. I blame Drew Barrymore for just about everything. Drew Barrymore's mom is hot.
Really?
Yeah, Drew Barrymore's mom was in Playboy in, like, the late 90s. She was...
Late 90s?
I want to say late 90s.
Who is her mom? I forget.
Jade Barrymore.
Oh, it's not... She's... Drew Barrymore is, like, part of a... I thought she was part of, like, a one of those Hollywood aristocracy...
I don't know who she is. But, I mean, you know... like... Anyway, yeah, her mom is more attractive than she is. That is my impression.
Okay.
Your mom is more attractive than you are.
Okay.
I've never actually... I'm going to meet Hot Stuff's mom for the first time.
Yep.
Yeah. Because usually I make her wear a bag on her head.
You
know?
Yeah.
So I've never actually spoken to her. Jade Dragonpiece also says, the power of Moxie overall lies in the ballroom. Disco bandits beat accordion thieves because of disco concentration.
There might come a time when every class has interesting class-specific fight skills, because we've got the Postomancer thing, we've got Sorcerer things, Disco Bandit things, and Turtle Tamer things.
It would be interesting if different. Although I don't, I say this would be interesting, but I don't actually know if it would be possible to make this interesting. If different combinations of accordion thief songs for accordion thieves gave additional synergistic effects.
Jeez, it would be tricky to come up with something.
It would be tricky to apply any narrative sense onto it, given the just decidedly arbitrary nature of the thematic content of accordion thief skills. But
mechanically, they're not super arbitrary, though. They fill a bunch of particular niches.
Like yeah,
maybe we
yeah.
could use that as the. That's an interesting idea. Synergistic. Sexiness. I was trying to think of another S word. I kind of failed there.
Jade Dragonpiece says, 2 days are longer in turn count because they have 40 less pulls. And sub 600
40 less pulls in a 3-day?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
I don't know what that means.
I guess... Yeah, I don't know what that means. You get 20 pulls a day. So a 3-day, I would imagine, would have 20 extra pulls. But maybe I'm not thinking of something. I guess maybe you have to eat more... small foods or something to get the higher number of turns.
Rickett says, the cop story is all your fault because you look like a hippie, Jake. Yeah, well, whatever.
But we're in a fancy car.
Yeah, I have a nice car. The thing is, I look like a fucking drug dealer. That's the problem. I drive a nice, dark-colored car. And
tinted windows.
I am relatively clean-cut, except for the ponytail.
And the spinners.
I look like a fucking drug dealer.
Spinning hubs. That never helps.
I don't have spinning hubs. I bought some land. I bought some motherfucking land.
Dude, did you use deodorant?
I do. It's called Speed Stick, and it is not expensive. I think I do use Speed Stick, actually.
Really?
But I'm not, because I have to switch back and forth between the Toms of Maine and the Speed Stick, because the Toms of Maine makes my it gives my armpits the color of the earth. No, seriously, if I exclusively use Toms of Maine deodorant for like 6 months, I just get like my armpits just turn brown.
Weird.
It is fucking weird, man.
I don't think it's supposed to do that.
I don't know, man. Whatever. Deodorant is a fucked up concept.
Period. Antiperspirant is really kind of nasty.
Deodorant
is just kind of like perfume that lasts longer.
Yeah.
But deodorant scares me.
Antiperspirant is like plugging up your pores with aluminum.
Yeah, that is just screwy.
Let's see. Beckdog says, actually, he had no right to search your car unless you let him. If you had said no, he would have needed a warrant, so you did have weed for future reference. The thing is, I think
probable
that
cause
they can,
is weird, because they can do...
If they have probable cause, they can search your car, right? Yeah. I would not have let him... I mean, I understand that the cops don't have a right to search my car. However, a dog smelling weed from outside the car is probable cause, and I can't stop him from letting a dog run around outside my car.
That happened to, I think, a congressman or something like that in D.C. There was, like, you know, a drug-smelling dog found cocaine in some congressman's car or whatever. And I don't remember exactly what the fallout of that was, but it surprised me that they don't, you know, you don't just sort of see a bunch of drug-smelling
roadside checkpoints where they just, yeah.
Or not even roadside, just parking lots and stuff like that. Like, why not just take dogs all around and just...
I mean, I want to say that the reason that they don't do that is because they're not just immense, insufferable pricks about enforcing the laws in this country, you know? But then again, I don't believe that. So
I don't understand where our sense of legal enforcement comes from, because... Why do we seem to enforce some laws so much more heavily than others, and like what is the purpose of the legal enforcement that we do have? You know, if they're gonna pull me over for speeding and just give me a warning, like, it could have just as easily been a speeding ticket. Why did I get a warning? Like, what happened? Why is that so arbitrary? I was very grateful that it was a warning, and I drove slower. So,
I mean, I've gotten a tremendous number of warnings in my life, you know, and they do make me drive more carefully for a while.
Yeah.
Tickets make me drive more carefully for longer.
I was being uncareful. I was just going faster.
Yeah. I mean, fucking 89 and an 80 is just not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, man.
What the fuck?
See, when my dad was a cop, they just did not give out a lot of speeding tickets, you know?
I can understand speeding tickets as a source of revenue for the police department. You know,
I'm not positive that I think that the police department should be responsible for generating its own revenue. I feel like that creates a tremendous amount of irresponsible behavior, or at least it rewards irresponsible behavior
on the part of the police.
Yeah, the fucking cameras, man. Automated speed trap cameras are just bullshit.
We've had a lot of them go off recently at intersections or on the highways. I've seen a lot of just, like, at late night.
Yeah,
just
no,
the flashes.
They're fucking everywhere.
And that seems really dangerous to me, because it is just blinding for a second.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I just, you know, the fact that more people don't understand that those tickets just aren't real.
Yeah.
It's basically like you get a thing in the mail that says, hey, you owe us $100. And you're like, no, I don't. And nothing ever happens to you, but... they see it, they're like, oh, this is from the police department, and it says that I owe them $100. And the police are in charge of me. They're my boss. They have authority that I don't have.
Therefore,
you know,
I won't pay this
when in fact they are just guys doing their fucking jobs.
They do have some authority, right?
If they arrest you, right. If they arrest you, right. Then they have authority over you. But beyond that, I mean, it's like, I don't know, man.
That's an interesting sort of line, right? Where is, how much can you disregard a police officer before he has the right to beat you down and arrest you, right? Like, if a police officer tries to stop you on the street and you ignore him or her, is that probable cause for him to, or her, to beat you down in the balls?
I don't know.
We should answer some more questions.
I was thinking we should reveal our secret, but instead we should actually just play some music.
I don't know. Do you need to take a break?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't need to take a break.
I was just trying to draw out this by mentioning it again, and then
I did. There were when I was thinking about things to talk about, because I wasn't sure that we were actually going to be able to broadcast. So I was afraid that we were going to have to just record a show,
right,
and then give it to somebody else to broadcast, and so we wouldn't really have any questions coming in response to what we were saying. So I had been trying to think at various times when I had a moment to myself during this trip of what we could talk about. Item of the month.
Yeah.
A lot of complaining about it.
It was what I feel like people don't understand or aren't willing to grant us is that sometimes we experiment with items, right? Like, if this proves wildly unpopular, it just isn't going to happen again because people don't like it, you know? It is important for us to be able to have new vectors, new design vectors, especially in the item of the month, where we try not to make anything too overpowered. In the few cases where we have, it's required us to sort of figure out ways that it's to make it sort of rein it in, right? And so having sort of a new thing that we could do was sort of a very difficult design challenge, because there's just not a lot of design space that we haven't explored that is easy to sort of pull out, you know?
The way that the state that the item of the month is in, the state that the item of the month was in on release, was decided on a couple of hours before.
It was 6 hours.
So
it had been in a vaguely different form.
Yeah, the
day or two before that.
Yeah, it was initially conceived, and I don't think that there's any harm in disclosing the process of putting this together. I had initially conceived it as a reusable combat
Item
that you would get. You used the packet; it gave you like a handful of bait that you would squeeze a la the weird ant lion thing in Half-Life 2 or whatever, that without using up an equipment slot.
Yeah, it was something that you could do in combat that was effectively just
free stuff.
Yeah.
People in dev expressed concern that we were making a mistake with that. And it was a concern that I listened to, because it was like their point was, after everything you did to minimize the sort of damage that we think that we caused by introducing the snow cones, to do just a sort of end run around it like this seemed a little weird. To introduce
Except
a new thing.
Snow cones were hardcore.
Snow cones could be used,
and this would
only usable in softcore. Which, you know, hardcore was never really sacrosanct, but softcore was especially never sacrosanct in terms of a level playing field. You know, I feel like, you know, I got to thinking the other day about how, like, you know, Nexus Wars says. The guy from Nexus War says that they're on the verge of failure from lack of donations, right? And nothing that you can donate for in Nexus War, like, it's just a guiding principle that nothing that you can donate for has any game impact. And I think that, you know, the difference between, you know, Nexus War's model and our model is that
ours is a single-player game.
Very sustainable. Sure. Right, same thing with Forum Wars, right?
That's a huge difference.
But ours is, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, but we try and maintain some semblance of balance in terms of the items of the month's impact on competition,
sure,
right? Because, you know, competition is what a lot of people do when they play our game, you know. So it's stuff needs to be powerful. Stuff needs to be useful. Items of the month need to be better than the other stuff that's in the game, right? And it's hard to just keep coming up with stuff that's better than the other stuff in the game.
When a lot of
the other stuff in the game is previous items of the month, right? So, my plan, which I was convinced I'm not saying I was convinced like I believed. I was convinced actively by other people was a bad plan, was to have it be a combat item. Right. A lot of people have said, including people in dev to begin with, that why not just make it a tome? Making it a tome would have made some sense, right? You use a summon, and it gives you a 10-use...
Excuse me.
It just didn't... I didn't like it thematically. It's a tome of packet of mayfly bait summoning. You know, that's just... And whatever. Like, a lot of people will say that's not a good reason not to do it, but in my mind, that was a good reason not to do it that way. So, at the end... In an effort to not make it just completely overpowered, it evolved into its current form. Right? People, let me see what questions are.
Cleve says, "Do you guys have a theme for ready for this year's super content from there? Is it a coyote that gives you insanity chili peppers?" Which is funny because
we were talking about that.
Yeah.
that was the Vision Quest from The Simpsons was an early conceptual model for what we're doing. Although Scully outdid all of our thinking with a single post in the wiki a couple days ago with a "Hey, how about this?" and then just outlined exactly what the June Familiar was obviously always supposed to be.
Yeah, that's really clever.
Yeah. No, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about telling Scully and Riff to get to work on that. Let's see. Met says, "Is there a pattern in the Mr. Store items of the month and familiars of the month to come out?" We've been working on trying to have a pattern because
it's been establishing one over the past couple years.
Yeah.
Loosely.
Yeah, because we're not ever gonna really bind ourselves to.
Yeah. The January one has, for the past 3 years, whatever, has been the squeezable.
Right.
Right.
Right. February
was the Librem for two years
in a row. April was a Grimoire once, and then again 2 years later. As far as I'm concerned, June is, and it's funny, we did the huge, impressive content familiar that first June because I was worried about how expensive Comic-Con was going to be, and I was like, alright, we need to make sure that the item of the month is a success this month, and then everybody just loved it, and everybody was super, super happy with it, as opposed to people thinking, oh man, what a lame cash grab on your part. Everybody was like, we love you, so we're like, okay, cash grab every year.
We put a tremendous amount of work into it. It's become the content heavy.
Yeah, yeah, my plan is as long as we can keep coming up with plausible ways to do it without just completely retreading old ground. June is always going to be a familiar that gives you a consumable item that is tradable and unlocks a bunch of new content.
Yeah.
And that's going to work there. Other than that, I don't know. We did the two, the sort of trinities of muscle and mist and mox equipment, but I'm kind of
done
reluctant to do more of that because right now you can wear all of those at once, right? And it's, but then the reluctance to do that is what created this weird shit that we did this month,
yeah.
Which people. Let's say that this proves to be one of the most unpopular items of the month ever, then so be it. We know. I did not want to make another tradable piece of equipment that was useful for farming, and that was it. It's just that the bottle rocket crossbow was bad for the game. I genuinely believe that. I genuinely believe what I posted in that thread, that the bottle rocket crossbow is great for any individual person. It's great for any individual clan. It's bad for the economy. It's bad for the game.
Inflation in the game has actually picked up again. We were stable for many months, and the quantity of meat in the economy has been creeping up little by little every week. And it's trying to find the source of all that. It's hard not to think that it has to do a lot with people having sets of extremely high value. Plus meat and item drop equipment that they just trade around so that no one person has. A lot of the items are supposed to be rarer or more powerful, and
people were supposed to sort of keep them instead of, you know, 50 people sharing the same set of gear. So that's kind of frustrating. It's hard to rein that back in a sort of narrative way, because we don't like to just be heavy-handed about that kind of thing.
Gleave says, so are you guys going to elaborate on the clan thing? Okay, so you guys want to know what we've been working on for 3 months?
I don't think they do.
I don't think they do either. The reason that we were considering just announcing what's going on tonight is because we felt compelled to say that just because of the way that this is working out, we weren't sure how much work we would be able to get done while we're on this trip, right?
And so far it has been minimal.
Really still not. I got a significant amount of work done today, but it was the first time I had gotten any work done at all in the trip, right? So I'm not... I had thought that if we could do an hour or two of real work a day for the entire trip, that we would probably be able to continue and to release the content on something like a reasonable schedule relative to what we had said we were going to do. It is looking more and more like we are probably not going to have this done until at least the end of this month, right? Yeah. Just because it is... We kind of fucked up, right? Like, typically we will set a deadline for ourselves, and then it just sort of works out. We end up making the deadline. There are a couple of really brutal weeks of just constant work leading up to that deadline, but it gets done. This time, there were a couple of weeks of really brutal constant work, and we got like
75 or 80% done
of the way done. And we're just like, well, fuck. This was hard. So we thought, well, it's going to be very disappointing to get on the radio, or it's going to be disappointing to people to have us get on the radio and hear, oh yeah, we're delaying the content. But then we thought, well, what if we just tell them what it is? Because then they can get excited about it and be thinking about it. And that said, I think it's time for a music break. No, just kidding. I do have to pee, but I will let the urine become a stain, and the stain will become a warning.
Was it a Japanese minister or somebody? Oh, it was Tycho Brahe, I was going to try to say observatory, but he wasn't an observatory. He was a astronomer who, I believe he died because his bladder ruptured because he was too polite to get up from dinner, from like this prolonged dinner.
Huh.
I believe that is how he died.
Huh.
Yeah. Kind of a tragedy of manners.
Some famous philosopher, I think, died as a result of a kidney stone.
Really?
Yeah. A kidney stone that was too big. Well, if it's too big to pass, if it just gets stuck for more than a couple days, your kidney will eventually explode and become septic, and you'll die. Right?
Huh.
I feel like if anything explodes inside you, you're probably
in trouble.
The space in between your organs is supposed to be sterile. So anyway, this is fun. What time is it?
I don't know, it's like
10:15.
The radio show is 2 hours later for us here.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Although, from everything we've gathered, it seems like the city doesn't really even start waking up until 11 p.m.
We went to we were taken to the dungeon last night.
Yeah,
a bar that doesn't open until 10:30, and then there was no one in it except for the bartender who was playing whatever songs we wanted at fucking brain melting volume.
My theory is that they take the title of the dungeon very seriously, and therefore they must play the music so loud that it becomes torture.
I had fun there. So anyway, here's what we've been working on, kids. We've it is indeed Hobopolis.
Dun dun, dun
dun dun. But it's not what you think.
Yeah.
It might be what you think.
No, it isn't. When you say Hobopolis,
people think that it's the sleazy back alley unfolding the way that Cobb's Knob and the Haunted Pantry do into Cobb's Knob and Spooky River Manor.
The very first time we originally thought of Hobopolis, that's what we thought of.
But what we are doing is, I don't know that we've ever actually talked about this concept on the radio at all. I think this has been stuff that we've been tossing around for the last couple of years, really.
Yeah, I had sort of a I don't know if a revelation is the right word or whatever, but I had an idea for a way of doing some new content in the game a long time ago that we've been tossing around for at least a year and a half, I think. And it's taken this long to sort of foment.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. In your clan hall, you are going to be able to pay a fairly significant amount of meat to have a basement dug. In that basement, there are going to be a number of things eventually, but at this point, when it rolls out, there's going to be one thing that you can do where you pay a not trivial amount of meat, but not a really significant amount of meat.
Perhaps as a factor of 10 out of the clan or so less.
To unlock Hobopolis, which is a clan dungeon. Basically like a World of Warcraft instance, kind of. Everyone in your clan is... You can kind of see it as a single quest to do down there,
yeah,
that takes like 5,000 or 6,000 turns, but that everyone in your clan can contribute to.
And it has a persistent state for your clan, so...
Basically, there's like...
Bobby Joe will do something, and Billy Ray will benefit from the thing that Bobby Joe did.
Right. There are 6 zones down there, right?
7.
7?
Yeah.
7, right, okay. 7, yeah. All right, so yeah, there is just a fuck ton of content in this.
And that's one of the reasons it's been taking so long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's different. It's different than the normal stuff that we've done. The normal mechanical things, like just that these are the things that you do in the sort of single player game to change the states of things. They're just kind of an order of magnitude more complicated to track in this, because it is really the first actually multiplayer thing that we've ever done.
Yeah.
In KOL.
It might not, and the thing is, it still seems like KOL because it's, you're still doing your
yeah, your experience of it is experience. Still the same. You're adventuring, you're fighting monsters, you're getting choice adventures where you do stuff, but the things that you do are going to influence other people's progress through it.
Yeah.
A lot of them... The plan is, you know, so you'll basically, like I said, for those of you who play World of Warcraft, it's like a World of Warcraft instance.
It's like a
raid, some extent,
right?
Yeah. You have a bunch of monsters that you kill in these zones, and then each zone has a boss that somebody can fight once you've killed all the monsters. The bosses are more difficult than anything else we've ever put into the game.
Say perhaps the Naughty Sorceress. But
the old Naughty Sorceress,
yeah,
was maybe was that difficulty was commensurate. But also, we don't have the same sort of constraints to worry about. We're not thinking of this as something that everyone, no matter what, has to be able to beat, because these are things that you may well be forced to level up if you want to beat them. It will be possible to see all the content. It will cost you a lot.
Yeah.
It will cost you a lot as a single person to open the basement up and adventure in the zone. The reason that the cost is so high is because there will be distinct advantages in basically every area of gameplay to opening to having access to the content in these things. There is a lot of really good stuff down there.
Geared almost exclusively at high level play, but
sure. But a lot of you know, there will be a lot of really good consumables. Just a lot of really good stuff down there.
And by good, it also means interesting. Like some, it's not necessarily all going to be like the best stats you've ever seen on a piece of gear.
We've worked really
a lot
hard.
Of different. Stuff.
We've worked really hard to make stuff cool and different than the other stuff. And that's again why this has
tremendous
taken
number of
so long. It's just so much new shit that we've been working on. And it's exciting. It's cool. I hope that you guys are excited about it as we are. It's been a long time since I was like really into something that we were doing. Anyway, so the reason that there is a high cost associated with it is because we don't want people just creating clan after clan after clan and opening these things up and just having multiple copies of them available at once. You can move from clan to clan, and it's like you're going into different copies of the dungeon. We've managed to overcome... I would say that the first year that we spent talking about this was just trying to figure out ways to overcome the kind of conceptual hurdles of how to store the states, how to deal with the information, how to, you know, what happens if somebody leaves the clan, what happens if the clan gets disbanded in the middle of it, what happens if, you know... what happens when people move from clan to clan and you know try and do the same thing in two different places, that kind of thing, and we've come up with what I think is a fairly satisfying, fairly sensible way of doing it. But yeah, you know, there'll be a lot of new items for you to get, a lot of new and the trash mobs in World of Warcraft parlance there's some cool stuff.
Yeah, there's some very interesting.
There's some funny content vectors in there.
But it's
the word vector.
Yeah, it's a lot of. It's like a lot of the same fight, but the variability is going to be a lot higher too.
So basically, it's this thing you pay to open it up. You can take it easy and in there recover some of the cost of it, or you can go for speed leaderboard attempts as a clan.
Yeah.
And a lot of the multiplayer interactions inside the dungeon are ways of speeding up your progression through the dungeon by making it harder.
There's going to be a tremendous amount of spading required to figure out a lot of the ways in which things interact.
And a tremendous amount of cooperation and coordination to be really effective,
you're going to have multiple people in the dungeon at the same time working on similar parts of the dungeon. Like, there's you can definitely do it asynchronously, like stuff now, but there will be distinct advantages in a lot of places. Not everywhere. Part of it, I think, will be, you know, you'll have like two or three people be, okay, you guys take care of this thing sometime, you know, between noon and five or whatever. And then, you know, the rest of us are all, you know, all 10 of us will get on and do it from 5 to 10 or whatever.
I mean, if you're just taking it easy, you're not ever going to be required to coordinate. Like,
correct.
If you're just taking it easy and you want to see the content, you can spend weeks doing a single run through this. You know, you don't have to. The idea, though, is that you can, if you as a group of people dedicate yourselves to it, you can go through it in a day.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 10 people can use a day's worth of turns to get through it. Probably fewer than 10 people, as it's going to turn out.
Well,
eventually.
In the long run.
Eventually, in the long run, people are going to figure out ways to shave a tremendous number of turns off of the amount of time that it takes to traverse this. But
in the early days,
I
think the first people to do a one-day run, I think the first, like, in the first week, I think it will be clans of 100.
Yeah, clans of hundreds of people who are actually spending, you know, 5,000 to 6,000 turns clearing it.
Yeah. Well, with that many people, it's going to be more like 10,000 turns.
Sure.
So,
right.
Yeah.
This one is slightly, mechanically slightly different than you would expect, I guess, even based on the way that I've just described it. Because there's no way to talk about it without just saying exactly how it is.
And there's a lot of stuff that we don't want to explain fully so that people can sort of.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of fun for people who like spading stuff. It doesn't require spading. You can go through it sort of blindly and not really sort of paying attention to what you're doing, but. There's a lot of neat hidden stuff that you can find.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's
that's what we're working on.
That's what we're working on.
And it's not going to be done in 2 weeks.
Sorry. It's not going to be done 2 weeks from 2 weeks ago. It's not going to be done 2 weeks from a month ago. It's just a... It is down to a single to-do list, which is something... That is a real, like, sort of milestone in any big project that we're working on, is it getting down to a single list of things that need to be done.
That's like a screen and a half tall or whatever.
Yeah. So. And I got a few of those things in the couple hours that I worked today. I got a few of those things knocked off. I took a sheet of paper down to Coop's place, and we wrote down some stuff to fill in on one of the other items on the to-do list, and we just did a little stuff,
The whole game is basically being written on tiny scraps of paper.
Yeah,
and then we're scattering them in every state that we go to. So,
let's see. I guess we can look at questions from the radio.
You haven't flushed anything in like a million years.
Urutsini says, Hobopolis, once you use the 5,000 to 6,000 turns to complete the zone, can it be restarted or done multiple times? Yes, it
could, in fact, be done multiple times in a day.
Yeah, yeah. There is nothing stopping it from... there's nothing stopping it from being done multiple times in a day. If a clan of 1,000 people could probably do it 100 times in a day if they spent the meat from the coffer to open it that many times.
That would be really tricky.
You can only have one copy of it open at a time, right? So yeah. You'd have to be going through it really, really fast.
I think what will probably happen in the clans of thousands of people is that they will probably have two or three sub-clans or something
they'll form some splinter clans with
that's probably going to be too unwieldy. I think having a couple hundred people in a clan would be doable, and I think that, you know, months from now when it's really being optimized fully, it's going to be, you know, 7 to 10 really active people clearing it to really optimize it. But it's interesting because it can scale pseudo-arbitrarily to the number of people that want to go into it. It's totally soloable.
Right.
Especially a high level. You know, level 30 or level 50 player can totally...
Yeah. There is an intro level. There is an intro sort of lead-in to the main part of Hobopolis that you should be able to get through. I mean, especially if people in your clan are helping you out, you should be able to get through there at level 9 or 10, probably. And...
Which means it can be... Which kind of interestingly could be... Some of the stuff could be done during the Ascension run, which is another sort of balance issue.
Yeah, it's been very tricky for us to, because we don't want to keep people in Roner Hardcore or Bad Moon out of these things.
Yeah,
we need to make sure that there is no competitive advantage to whitelisting yourself in 20 clans that have these open that you have spent the meat to have open.
Yeah.
So it's been, you know, there's been a lot of stuff that we've had to think really hard about. And
the multiplayer aspect of it is so sort of foreign to the way that KOL was organically built that it's required a lot of funky thinking.
Glebe says, will we be able to pay for these dungeons out of our clan coffers? That's, you will, in fact, have to pay for the dungeons out of your clan coffers. Let's see. Catatonic Monkey says, will everyone have access to all the content in this new dungeon, or when something is done, is it done for the clan completely? It is such that once you have killed all the monsters and the boss in a particular zone, that you cannot adventure in that zone anymore.
Until you go to some other clans.
We're trying to decide whether we want to allow people to close the dungeon and start it over without beating the boss.
I think we'll probably end up doing that.
Making it so that they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are... Because it's you know, again, for those of you familiar with World of Warcraft, there is some advantage in a World of Warcraft dungeon, maybe. Maybe the way that people can play World of Warcraft is to go into a dungeon. And I guess in the really high-end stuff, this happens all the time. They go into a dungeon that has 5 bosses in it, and they beat the first boss. And they can't beat the second boss, but the first boss drops some equipment that... If they go and they did it 10 more times and everybody got all of the equipment drops that they need from the first boss, that will make them tough enough to beat the second boss.
Yeah, we're not quite as rough as that.
Really, yeah. The main boss is not going to be that much harder than the mini bosses, and the mini bosses are not really that much harder than each other in a progression. Though, one of the reasons this is taking so long is also because we have no fucking idea how people are actually going to behave in here. We don't really know what kinds of things people are going to have trouble with. We don't really know what kinds of things people are going to enjoy. We don't know. You know, it was very strange to me to see devs' take on this, because whereas we, coming from the kind of World of Warcraft perspective, we're like, all right, these trash mobs are just kind of a nuisance that you have to deal with before you can fight the boss, which is really what you're in here for. They saw the fact that you ran out of those mobs as an inconvenience, like, oh man, now this content's locked out and that sucks.
Yeah.
Right. So it I'm really curious as to how the set of people who plays KOL is gonna think about this, how they're gonna play it.
I think and Jake was the one who sort of came up with this dichotomy. I think that there will definitely be people who approach it for speed, for several reasons, for leaderboards and some other stuff that can happen. And there will be a subset of people who do it as slowly as possible to sort of farm as much content and actual stuff out of it as possible.
I think that a clan who is willing to spend a lot of time farming, like, the items that drop in Hobopolis and then sell it in the mall can very
easily
profitably run Hobopolis over and over again just farming it. Because, I mean, we're just trying to put as much cool stuff as possible in there. And there, you know, a lot of very, very rare drops, basically. Yeah. So, you know, so that... But not, you know, like the Cursed Pirate outfit in terms of how it actually drops, but not like the Cursed Pirate outfit in terms of being untradeable.
Right.
So that, you know...
Yeah, so, and which has the added benefit of people who aren't in clans or don't want to pursue this content can still get some of the goodies from it as long as they're willing to participate in the player economy.
Yeah.
So,
for instance, the accordion thief skills that we were talking about. Because there are five bosses, there are five mini-bosses, and the mini-bosses are going to drop gear that is sort of tuned to one particular class, but five bosses, six classes. We didn't really have anything to do gear-wise for accordion thieves, right? So what we're going to do is make it so each of the bosses has a chance, probably, of dropping a new skill for accordion thieves. People are going to want that, even if they were not there in the dungeon.
But we haven't even agreed necessarily on whether that would be that particular thing would be tradable.
Would be tradable, yeah.
So
that's the thing. We've also got a new tradability mechanic. Again, kind of. And this was one of the things that was really difficult for us to conceive of the way that it was going to work to begin with. When you get, and again, people who are familiar with World of Warcraft are going to immediately recognize this. When the boss drops a piece of equipment, it does not go into the inventory of the person who killed the boss. It goes into kind of a holding area in the clan basement. And then...
like a chest or something.
Yeah. The guy who killed the boss, or the clan leader,
or
anyone who has, like, dungeon administrator permissions in the clan, can then assign that item to anyone who participated in the dungeon. Anyone who has participated in the dungeon. So, you know...
if we had a bunch of social drama, potentially.
Yeah, time to sign up for your DKP tracking website. But because the thing is, like, let's imagine
HKP.
That you are a class who has
kill points.
You are a clan who has only you've got like a bunch of people just playing the game, and then you have one like level 50 seal clubber or whatever in your clan, and. So you go into Hobopolis, you do all the work, you unlock the bosses, but that level 50 seal clubber is the only person that can kill all the bosses easily. So you are like, okay, we cleared the way for you, Joe, the level 50 seal clubber, why don't you come in and kill the boss for us? And then Joe goes in and he kills the boss and it drops something that's really good for a sorcerer, right? We don't want it to be tradable because we don't want the shit to just go out into the mall, right? We want this to be something that you do have to work for to some extent. So that was the sort of master loot mechanic is what we just shamelessly ripped off from World of Warcraft to handle the way that these drops work.
It's going to create all kinds of interesting social situations. I can already predict a bunch of them, and I'm sure there will be others that I haven't even imagined. We'll put some mechanisms in place to sort of help people deal with it, but a lot of it's going to be sort of organic and see, like, what kinds of etiquette and what kinds of rules develop, you know, like, about how this kind of stuff happens, you know?
Yeah.
And we don't have control over that, you know? We can't police it at every level, so...
Yeah.
And Naked Jew says, please tell me it has John Hodgman references and also still involves the hobos.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. You guys will be excited. It's pretty funny.
If anyone knows John Hodgman, I sent him an email and he never responded. So you should tell him to check his email from me.
Glebe says, would this clan dungeon be good for power leveling? If so, from about what levels? I don't have any idea.
I believe that it would be... I mean, the monsters are not scaling monsters.
Right.
So it's not as good for power leveling as, say, some of the Crumbo content or whatever it would be.
Right.
But
It might be better than the you know, the gallery or the bathroom or the or, yeah. or it might be. I don't know.
There will be places that could be, are almost definitely going to be better for certain types of power leveling.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be interesting to see how that all works out. The idea is, at the very least, to give high-level players who are working on their level 30 trophies or whatever something interesting to do on the way.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to...
Something that's actually challenging. Oh, I didn't really get to where I was going with that. The sort of lead-in zone that you go through before you get into the main area of the dungeon is kind of designed for levels 9 to 10. And then there is a lot of stuff... There is stuff you can do down there that is kind of equivalent to spending turns in the gym. But by spending those turns, you get some stats, you know, so it's going to be... That alone is going to make it kind of reasonable for power leveling to some extent, because, you know, it'll be more flexible than the Zodiac sign gems.
It's more flexible, and it's also benefiting your clan.
Because using turns in this gym kind of thing down there give people options for making fights easier and more productive. And say you can spend a turn doing something that then somebody else or you later can reap the benefits of in a different fight. So, I mean, what we tried to do was to make it so, you know, you could have a clan where there were people who popped in every once in a while and end up gymming most of their turns and they're saying, hi, like, oh, I don't really have time to play this week, that those people could still contribute.
Yeah.
That people who were too low level to fight even the trash mobs in Hobopolis could still go down there and do something and be contributing while they are leveling.
Yeah.
Via the actual dungeon. So let's see. Man, I don't know what the deal is with this.
The wireless in this hotel is extremely slow. Every time I try to reload the questions, it takes a good 20 seconds.
It's weird that my cell phone thing that I got... This thing is great. I was working. I was logged into chat, and I was writing stuff in the wiki while we were going down the interstate at 75, 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And it just worked. It's fucking weird.
It's enticing as a way to get internet.
Yeah, because it's just like having Wi-Fi everywhere.
Yeah,
it's really pretty fast.
I mean, you used to be able to plug in a card to your phone and use that.
Yeah, I never really thought of that as being all that plausible, though. I don't know why. I feel like they're getting more data through cell phone networks now than they used to. Like, because this is pretty fast. It's there's a little bit more. You know, there's like maybe 300 millisecond latency at best. Well, no, you know, not really. Like SSH is pretty snappy. It's not nearly as good as working at a console. It's not nearly as good as we're, you know, at the office via cable modem SSHing into the servers, but it's still pretty snappy. It's still I was cautiously optimistic about it after talking to Geoff, you know, like, wow, I can have internet all the time without having to pay $10 a day for wireless access wherever on this road trip and actually be able to get some work done. And, you know, then it became a lot more plausible for us to be able to actually get this stuff released in any kind of time frame.
The only thing that I was hesitant with there was that so many places have started offering free wireless as part of staying wherever you are.
Yeah, I've found that I would say that about 80% of the hotels that I've stayed at in the last couple of years have had wireless, but it has been $10 or $15 a day. Yeah.
Free wireless at the Fleabag Lafayette place?
Oh, that's true. Every Best Western has free wireless. So if you can lower your standards that much, then you can.
And this place has free wireless.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Although there was some technical issues.
This place is so much fucking nicer and just not very much more expensive than the goddamn Super 8
in Lafayette that just...
I spent a good 30 minutes killing bugs when I first came into my room.
Our room, the room that my wife and I stayed in, and this made me feel like a really good protector, it was pretty obvious that the door had been broken down by force at some point, because the little swinging metal lock thing for you to actually be able to lock people out of the room, even if they had a key, was just snapped in half.
Mine had been removed entirely.
Really?
And when I got there, the the actual latch part of my door didn't actually close. So until I had deadbolted the door, it did not actually shut with any assurance. So that was a little disconcerting.
I'm gonna start at the bottom and go up and just read and answer as many questions as I can in a short period of time.
Sure.
Watertail says, I've kind of been looking for an official confirmation, but will the Bounty Hunter get a revamp in June or not? You say it, but it seems like you're being sarcastic. I am being sarcastic every day. We have no plans to change anything with the Bounty Hunter.
I think we have plans to add more bounties eventually, but not. It's not on a time frame or...
It's not even so much having plans. We're open to the idea of adding more bounties eventually, and maybe as a Tuesday update.
Tuesday-ish update or whatever.
The
Traveling Trader can bring some more bounties. Would you have to buy? Just bring some bounty paper towels.
Catatonic Monkey says, how do the questions get routed through a character which hasn't been logged in since the end of 2006? It's just there. We actually remember to set this one to Nodally. The first radio bugbear got nuked.
And I noticed and recreated him and set him up.
I wonder if we shouldn't do a, slash radio chat command.
Like the channel.
Oh yeah, that wouldn't work. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
This works fine.
It does. You know, maybe it's good that there is a slight barrier to entry.
Yeah, you
have to know. You have to know how to send private messages in the chat. You have to be somebody who participates in the chat. So
yeah. I think it's fine.
The Brown Table says, if I get a real life KOL tattoo, will I get a special item like players have before? They haven't ever gotten a special item. The first handful of people who got KOL tattoos, I have given in game. Unique tattoos, but I also decided a year or so ago, or 2 years ago, that I'm not going to promise to do that for people anymore, because too many people are getting KOL tattoos, and that is a fucking weird thing for me to think about, but
the potential of having to promise to draw that stuff could bog you down.
Too many things. Let's see. So then, this is stuff that I had read. Dr. Van Mojo about Disco Bandits, stuff we were talking about today. Vidalia says, could you do something to the Spice Ghost, like a name change when it levels up? Nah, the name change was a specific sort of joke about the Wisp, the Angel Hair Wisp. The Spice Ghost does... Everything gets more powerful as it levels up. Every one of the Postamancer summons gets a new ability at level 5, and then another new ability at level 10. They're subtle. We didn't have really great, really interesting ideas for all of them that we did.
We didn't want them to be overpowered either.
Yeah, that's just. They were the first one. I mean, this is another thing. You know, I have now written sort of a chef staff in as one of the rewards for the getting a bunch of stuff from Hobopolis. We also need to... We've got this new fucking Postamancer summon mechanic now that we need to fill content into in the future. You know, put some turtles in there. Amorous turtles in there. We never really set up the...
List of turtles.
Yeah, sure.
There's four.
No, I know. And they were the four that I liked. It's not that I liked them the least. They were the four that I had the least sort of... inspiration on what to do with them or what they were going to do, and that's why they got left off, which is why I'm not excited about looking back at them. But the Amorous Turtles thing, you know, the idea was you'd get these pheromones and it would unlock the first tier of turtles, and then there would be an offhand item that you bought that was Turtle Tamer only in the Muscle Guild store that let you get the second tier, and then there would be a familiar that was like a turtle hunting turtle that you had to have that and the offhand item and the pheromones to get the third tier.
And turtle tamers would finally have a tamed turtle.
Of amorous turtles. You know, it just never happened.
Eventually.
Yeah, again, you know, we eventually have got to stop adding features and just start adding just content.
The thing is that we have plans for after Hobopolis is out there. We didn't actually explain sort of our very tentative plan, which is to get Hobopolis content complete, make sure that we think it's working pretty well, and instead of spending the 3 or 4 weeks that we'd need to do it to really thoroughly test just absolutely every nook and cranny of it.
And to both test and balance,
yeah,
and rotate.
Yeah. We were thinking of just putting it out there in a sort of very, very real beta form where we invite everyone to play with it, and then
sort of based on your experiences with it,
we'll
balance,
tweak it,
alter, tweak.
Yeah. With the caveat that if something is just clearly broken, we might take some toys away. But in general, you know, if you figure out something that seems really broken and don't exploit it, you can keep what you get, that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, just things like understanding that, all right, here are these bosses, they are supposed to be really hard to beat. If you figure out some trick for beating them in one turn with something that we didn't think of, we're going to plug that hole up.
Yeah.
You know.
And just not being apologetic about
it. Yeah. Just saying flat out, this is entirely subject to change.
Yeah.
It is totally experimental. It is a new direction. It is almost guaranteed to not be even anything remotely similar to balanced.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we reserve the right to do whatever we need to do with it to beat it into shape, because it's kind of a whole new game to some extent.
So, in addition to that, we have tentative plans to then add just an external, not clan dungeon, just sort of high-level zone.
Yeah, the idea for this is that this is kind of tuned for levels 15 to 20. In a very vague, very high-level conceptual sense, this is geared for levels 15 to 20. Then the plan is to do a single-player set of content that's geared for level 15 to 20.
Yeah.
And then one day have another clan dungeon that's maybe geared for levels 20 to 25. And then some single-player content that's geared for levels 20 to 25. That kind of thing. And just
yeah. Other clan dungeons could be much, much smaller in scale.
We're thinking that this one is going to be a large one, because it's just...
It has taken
so much fucking work.
Yeah.
And to be fair, future ones are going to be significantly easier
because of all the mechanisms.
Now that we've tried it, we're much better off. And yeah, you know, there are just a huge number of new combat mechanics that I've gone out of my way to make them very extensible. Which, you know, we're going to be using the shit out of this stuff in the single player content, because, you know, it's hard to make combat difficult.
Yeah.
It's hard to make monster fights hard in this game, because the mechanics are so simple and so sort of poorly designed that, you know, you just have to out-level stuff. Swine says, what do you guys think about the new Strong Bad Wii game? It's made by the guys who handle Sam and Max and will be released episodically. I have high hopes. Yeah, you know, I'll definitely buy them and play them.
A Wii game? So is it...
It's not a Wii game. It's being released for that thing where Flash games run in the Wii.
Oh.
I don't exactly understand how it works, but... Anyway. Alright, so back up past the cop stuff. Deus Nockham says, any ETA on stainless / plexi / brimstone outfits and tattoos? My spadey sense is tingling. I wonder how his spadey sense is going to be assisted by this. I did not... You told me that people had figured out everything that brimstone did.
Yeah.
I did not think that they had, and it came out very recently. There was a very recent post.
It was in the wiki.
The effects that were discovered. Really?
Yeah. It's been in the wiki for at least 3 or 4 weeks or a month. Like, it's been there.
Huh. Everything?
I'm pretty sure.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Egad Zitzurutini says, could we be able to turn off the personal massager in the same way as disassembling a clover, taking out the batteries or switching them off or something? Sometimes I just don't want to automatically use them. Thanks.
Huh.
I mean...
So you'd want to get beaten up?
You'd
want to
get beaten up.
If you put it in your closet, that turns it off, right?
Yeah. That's a pain in the ass, but... Zanch Vega says, the talk about making items of the month non-tradable for real? I think I see what you're trying to do from a business perspective, but how many sales will you lose in investment purchasing? The thing is, Items of the month that become untradeable on use are more valuable for investors than equipment items that,
much more
that are tradable. Yeah, like it's
if you look at the values of, I don't think there's in the mall, I don't think there's any equipment which even comes close to the familiars and tomes, because people know that there's the supply isn't going to diminish ever.
Yeah.
So I don't. It's something where, because it, you know, anything that is untradeable, you know, by virtue of being a familiar or a tome, like an actually consumed item, or this new untradeable item, is bound to increase in value for collectors and for people who start playing, you know, a year from now or whatever.
I mean, the kind of interesting thing is that the less popular the item is, the better it is for investors, which right. is this weird sort of catch 22
yeah,
that they have to deal with, right? But I mean,
we can always say that you know, down the road, having some bad items a month is the best thing that we could possibly do
good for us, and even for the bottom line. I mean,
the emo row, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. The emo row, even though it was that joke or whatever, that decision has generated so much fucking revenue from people overbuying the familiar or whatever comes out on April 1st, thinking that we might do it again, you know, it's like...
Even though we've specifically said...
It's just such... I don't want people... You know, we do talk about it, but... We have to talk about it because it would be irresponsible not to consider how the decisions that we make with items of the month are going to affect the bottom line.
Right.
It would be irresponsible to not give at least lip service to the idea that we are actually running a business here and that we need to make money in order to keep the game free for the purposes of making thousands of children happy. You know, like we. The only time that we ever consciously decided to try and make money with an item of the month was with the Badger. And it was not sketchy. It was just we decided to put a lot of effort into it. We decided to work really hard on something that we sold instead of treating it with the exact same sensibility that we would have treated any other content edition.
The context was also a little weird where... taxes had basically depleted all of our money.
We had just had the company coffers. There was kind of a wake up call with the amount of taxes that we had to pay that year. It was one of the first years that the company was operating in a real capacity as the sort of scope of the operation that it is now. And we were nervous. That was the only time that I have ever been nervous about the amount of money that the company had, you know. So we're like, oh, okay, well, let's see what we can do here.
We don't really have a safety net if our bank account hits zero and we have to pay a bill. Basically, we're kind of.
So, right now, we don't need to make money. We're in fantastic shape. Like I said in that thread, we are in fantastic shape, and we could have 6 months of items of the month that were as unpopular as the least popular item of the month from the last couple of years, and we would still be fine. And for but I think this is Zanch Vega saying, I think I see what you're trying to do from a business perspective. We're seeing what would happen. We're not saying, okay, this is what we need to do in order to make more money on this. It's just that, okay, we kind of use the popularity of items of the month as a metric of how much people like them, right? And we obviously want them to be popular because we want to make stuff that people like, right? And
as a side effect, it helps the company stay alive, which keeps the whole game running for everybody. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, we saw, okay, in almost every case, items of the month that dwindle in supply over time, items of the month that become bound to a person when they are used, are more popular than items of the month that don't. So let's see what it is that causes that. Let's see if it is the fact that it is a familiar that does that. Let's see if it's the fact that it's a skill that does that. Or let's see if it's the fact that it's not equipment that does that. And this month is just an experiment. It's just to see. You know, we have a lot of familiars in the game, you know? Like, we're constantly feeling like, man, we gotta stop adding familiars because there are just so many of them. And I guess there's not really any reason to feel that way. There's no problem with having 200 familiars.
Yeah.
that you can get.
It becomes the interface becomes more and more unwieldy. Is one issue.
Yeah.
But that's a problem that we have in the game as a whole, just because we have unlimited inventory.
Yeah, and then we just keep adding stuff.
We're well over 3,000 some odd items at this point that are possible to acquire in the game. And it's just, oh man. Or will be possible with the release of this content and Rift's content that
the Nemesis stuff, yeah. That's he's done so much.
There's a tremendous amount of content there that
I'm sure that a lot of people who've been paying attention to gaps in the item table since the end of last year are very excited to see stuff. Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that Rift's working on too for that is really neat, and it's just a matter of tweaking that and getting it refined, and he's got some writing to finish and stuff. But it's definitely made a lot of progress in the past 6 months.
Yep. Catatonic Monkey says, why can the name of the yo-yo found in the new pirate content still not be said in chat? I know it's a spoiler word, but it seems like bad planning to name something which can't be said by people in game. Yeah, you know, one of these days it's gonna be time to turn that off.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like though there would be something that you could do that would make it impossible to say yo ho while not making it impossible to say yo ho ho yo. You know, a little bit of regular expression wizardry.
Yeah.
You know, I was right about being kind of drunk after after finishing that entire mint julep and this entire beer.
was it okay? I had to. There's a law in the Big Easy about also in the Big Lebowski about having glass containers on the street, so I had to bring it in a plastic cup.
How were you able to get here with this bottle of beer, though?
I put it in my pocket.
Ah, so yeah. You're a sneaky bastard.
He could not sell it to me closed because they do not have a license for something
for plastic beers. Yeah, that
which
makes sense.
Kind of sucks.
You know, he said that the mint julep isn't any good in plastic, but it was fucking delicious. Okay. Yeah, it was great.
It is frustrating to me, though. It just seems stupid to me that he could not sell me a bottle of beer until he had popped the top off.
Yeah.
What sense does that really make?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not at all. I have to say, I bet that a mint julep in a stainless steel glass would be incredibly satisfying.
Because it would be so cold.
It would be so cold. And so, like, so, you know, because the condensation on the outside of a mint julep is really part of the experience.
Because
you're, like, you know, fanning yourself on the front porch saying, I do believe I have the vapors. Yeah. No, it's
I was really pleased.
I declare.
I could drink a mint julep in Louisiana.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like a big glass of whiskey.
Well, it's whiskey and sugar water and mint.
A Naked Jew says, I have recently been enjoying the audiobook version of The Areas of My Expertise, and it is muy fantastico. Well, you'll be pleased.
Yeah.
Let's see. I just want to see if there's any.
I mean, the questions go back several days.
They really do. Yeah, because Josh, I mean, Mr. Skullhead, he did a show from a party on his porch.
Really?
On Monday, yeah. And I don't think...
That's funny.
He did not flush the questions. I'm not positive that he read them during the show. I'm not positive that he didn't, because I haven't listened to it yet, but... Zortag says, so what exactly is up with the market lately? All the old items of the month seem to have gone way up in price in the last couple of months, and Mr. A's are way up, too.
Mr. A's aren't way up.
Are they not way up?
Well, I mean, the last time I looked, they were still in the 4.5 million-ish range.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're kind of staying for a long time.
Yeah, there's... Let's see.
they're up to 5 million. That is actually kind of a relatively high increase. And that's been pretty recent, because it was 4.5 million last month.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some inflation. People are talking like they are afraid that there is a meat bug in the wild. But I don't think that there is.
Unless there's something that's just extremely surreptitious that we have not been able to.
The last time this came up, it was like, okay, there's been some suspicious shit going on in the economy. We think there's a meat bug, and then we investigated it and we found it. But
right.
There is nothing fingerable at this point, except Hot Stuff's mom. She is eminently fingerable.
I'm so glad she does not listen to this radio show. I have never told her that I do this because I don't want her to like.
You don't want her to listen.
Magically find it on the internet and start listening.
Yeah.
Also, I don't want her to know that I go by the name Hot Stuff, because that's just stupid.
You haven't told her?
No. Are you kidding?
Really?
Oh, don't ruin it.
I'm not gonna.
You meet her.
Tell my wife though, because she's not gonna know to conceal that.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
But
see, now everybody has something to hold against me. If they ever want to like get something from me, they're like, "Oh, tell your mom." I'm like, "Oh man, here's that car you wanted."
The patron saint of depravity says, "For Dick and Scully tonight, how many internets did it take to get the show on tonight?" Yeah, I'm really glad that this worked, because this means that we can do the show every Thursday, and that's totally awesome.
From space.
I know. It's the fucking future.
We can do it from our flying car. That'll be awesome.
E. Peters 02 says, "If Barbara Walters asks each of you, what is the biggest misconception that people have about you, how would you answer?"
Well, I think the biggest misconception that people have about me is that I'm gay.
Oh. I wonder where they got that idea.
I have no idea.
The biggest misconception that people have about me is that I'm a hippie.
Yeah, you really aren't.
Yeah.
You should practice some free love.
Oh, let's see. Gold S says, "Any new Possumans or ghosts in the works?" Nah. Nothing specific.
And yeah, not in the short term, probably.
Yeah. Enemy Lasagna says, "We should put at least one in Hobopolis, though."
Okay.
We should come up with a rare. Maybe in the burial ground.
We could. There are a couple other mechanics that we could also put some goodies in for. We've used some. Well, I'm not going to continue to talk around this, so we'll talk about it later.
Okay. Enemy Lasagna says, "Hey guys, should we wait around in the higher levels for the oft-mentioned new content, or should we just ascend as usual?" You should probably just ascend as usual. It's not going to take you that long to get back up to level 15. And the thing is, if you're level 17 now, you would probably be better off ascending and keeping another skill than you would be power leveling to 22.
Probably. The only caveat I would say is that the bosses may be trickier.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of high-level characters that can take care of that for your clan or whatever, so.
Sewer Gnome says, "What's the deal with the Mayflies? I think we need more direction on how to evaluate it. Maybe we were expecting too much since it's such a high-concept item." Well, the basic thing with the Mayflies is it was meant to have overall just farming utility, which it does, though I think maybe not quite enough. I think that I wasn't, when I worked on it initially, I was not weighing it against the jack belt the way that I should have, because it wasn't an accessory.
Oh, right.
And that's the thing. Like, it when dev was like, "This is too powerful, it needs to be limited in some way," I'm like, "Okay, what if I make it an accessory that gives you a skill rather than a combat item?" They were like, "Oh yeah, that's great, but I think that limited it way too much." I think there is the potential that it limited it way too much. And
I feel like we're also much more afraid of having something be overpowered when we release it, because we feel a lot more hesitant to take
to
away
something. Yeah.
So we'll be much more likely to put something in that's a little underpowered and then beef it up halfway through the month, just because it needs to be to bring it up on par with a lot of other things. It needs to be brought up in power.
The other thing about it, and this is why again, we were worried that it is just overpowered. We were worried that it was just sort of badly designed. Is that there are behavioral cases that it has where it is just flat out stripping turns from your run.
Potential stripping turns. It's nothing. Nothing was just a flat out definite. It wasn't
judiciously. I mean, I guess it is possible that it does not. Even the turns that it just flat out strips off of your run are turns that could be better or more likely to be stripped off by a different accessory in that slot, yeah. And maybe that
because there the cost to get it to be a certainty is very high in terms of turns that you
right and doesn't really happen on a speed run.
Right. So it's
we might end up tweaking the curve of its effectiveness. Probably not, though. That is I think the last thing that I would tweak in order to make it more powerful.
Huh. I didn't realize that you were considering that.
Making it so, because right now it will, if a monster does not have meat, it will always boost item drops at the end of combat. It might make sense. And also, that is going to be incredibly useful in Hobopolis.
Yeah.
Just so you know, the Mayflies are going to be awesome in Hobopolis. Yeah. If you've got them powered up. If you're not ascending, which you're not going to be if you're playing in there, by and large. You know, not only are we planning on having them have specific behaviors that are sort of relevant to the thematic concerns in there, having those, you know, it's just a bunch of free item drops.
Right.
Against monsters that aren't dropping any meat. The monsters in Hobopolis do not drop any meat. Because there are so many. We were looking at this, we were like, oh, maybe we could make them drop a little bit of meat. But then we were looking at it relative to the cost of opening the dungeon, and they would have had to drop so little meat the way that people farm meat.
Yeah.
In order for it to not just be profitable to do it single player. That, yeah, it just didn't make any sense. Yeah, so they will be the Mayflies will be really useful in clan dungeons.
And they'll probably in
all high level content, yeah.
Because at that point they'll always be maxed out in their effectiveness.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about like pulls and a lot of other considerations.
I mean, it'll just be something that you will want to wear every day for the first 30 turns and use it every single time because it's just free stuff. QOB says, thank you very much for winnowing the meat pacing drop down to only the things that can be meat. Whoa, we're like 10 minutes over.
Oh.
Wow. Sorry, guys.
That's what we get for answering questions.
Yeah, no
instead
kidding.
Of just talking shit.
See if Amp's ready. I'm sure he's ready. I'm sure that nobody minds that we're going over that, but
people get on for other shows.
That's true.
We don't.
All right, let's see. I'm going to play some more breeders, I guess, on the way out. All right, kids, we'll, I will probably, although I don't know, it keeps working out that on Thursdays we are someplace where we are fairly well settled in, or it's gonna.
This Monday
we'll be in Florida, right?
Yeah.
We'll be in Florida by and on Monday.
Thursday, actually,
Monday
might be
and Thursday,
problem.
Maybe.
No, because Thursday potentially we'll be in.
Okay.
Colombia. Harvesting coffee.
And cocaine. Pure Colombia.
So yeah, Thursday actually might be an issue. We might need to pre-record.
Okay. Well, hopefully there gets to be some, like, forum speculation about Hobopolis. People talking about that kind
yeah.
of stuff.
Maybe it'll be interesting to see with
also, I'm not going to flush the questions, and I won't flush them on Monday either, just so that we can continue to go backwards and read more stuff.
I'm actually kind of curious to see what people will say. Given our sort of vague descriptions of it, what conceptions people will have about it, yeah. like concerns and stuff like that. I'm sure people will start complaining about it now.
Yeah. Oh, sure. All right. Well, we're going to leave you in Amplitude's capable hands.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
No, bye. No, aloha. Treats. It's not on the wall, but it hurt me, it's mental freeze.